1988, and we started under the direction of Stephen Drury. He and Sister Evelyn Drury were the impetus behind starting the New Beginnings Ministry. At that time, Brother Drury was the president of Tupelo Children's Mansion, and he had a burden to help kids that needed to be placed in a permanent adoption setting. And so he started the New Beginnings Ministry, and we are a licensed adoption agency. We are not a part of Tupelo Children's Mansion. We are a standalone ministry, and we've been operating that way since 1988. New Beginnings is, if you wanted to put us in a nutshell, you could say we are the pro-life ministry of the United Pentecostal Church International. We exist because we understand that there's girls that find themselves in crisis pregnancy situations that do not know what to do. And what the world will tell them is, well, go ahead and get an abortion. But we don't think that's right. And we think there's a much better alternative. And so we have a facility called the Irwin Maternity Care Center. Sister Lois Irwin, who her and her husband, while her husband was alive, they at one time were district secretary for the great district of Illinois for many, many years. And they also pastored a great church up there. And she was fundamental in helping us start the Irwin Maternity Care Center. So we named it after her. And it is a home that is licensed to house as many as 9 young ladies in a crisis pregnancy situation and minister to them body, soul, and spirit. Now, I will tell you that there are Pentecostal girls that get themselves in this situation. I wish that I could say it didn't happen, but it does. Now, what happens when a girl gets that? What do? We just preach to her, we kick her out of the church, we tell her, you know, you've disgraced the Lord. No. If there's ever a time to love that girl and minister to her, that's the time. And so we have a facility just exactly for that. I am glad to tell you that the vast majority of the young ladies that come and spend time with us are not Pentecostal girls. They are what I call from the periphery of Pentecost. They might have an aunt that's Pentecostal. They might live in the neighborhood with someone that's Pentecostal. They might have grandparents that are Pentecostal. Or they might be part of a family that's backslidden out of the Pentecostal church. But many times when these young ladies come to us, not only are we saving the baby that they're carrying in their womb, not only are we saving the life of an unborn child, but while that girl is there, she repents of her sins, she gets baptized in Jesus' name, she receives the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So not only have we saved the life of an unborn child, but we've saved the soul of a teenage girl that's lost and undone without God. Isn't that fantastic? Amen. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. People will say, well, you know, I just don't think that it's right for that you know, girl to come there and have that baby, then put it up for it. I just don't think that adoption is right. It'd be much better for that girl to raise the child. Well, can I tell you that in the last last five, we've had three 12-year-old girls in our facility? Three. And I would tell you a 12-year-old's not ready to have a child. In fact, I know some 30-year-olds that aren't ready to have a child. That's a whole nother sermon. Amen. But that is what New Beginnings is all about. And so I've come here to share the ministry with you. We have expanded the ministry. We're constantly trying to reach out and do other things. And we've expanded the ministry. We now are doing international adoption. And we actually have a home in Nepal. Now, I'm not real good with geography. I just know Nepal's over there somewhere. I don't even know where Nepal is. But it is over there somewhere. In fact, Brother Tom Veeley, our executive director, was just over there, flew over there a couple of weeks ago. And I haven't gotten with him yet, but he said he's got a lot of exciting reports to tell me. He's running one way, I'm running the other way, and we don't meet in the middle very often, but when we do, it's great. But he said there's some great things happening over there, so we have a children's home over there. And so we are doing adoptions, I think, right now through Nepal, through the Ukraine, through some countries in South America. And so we are doing international adoption. We do international adoption, domestic adoption. We have the maternity care center. So there is a lot of aspects to the New Beginnings ministry. And so I've come here to tell you about it, and perhaps, you know, I just know there's somebody in the house of the Lord tonight, brother, that they, on the way to church, they're thinking, man, I wish I had 3 or 4 more kids. Hey, are you in luck? I'm here. Sign you up, start the paperwork, we can get it rolling. No, there's, you know, people say, you know, they don't want no more, no mas. But my wife and I have 3 of our own, and that is enough, I'm telling you. I mean, when you've hit perfection 3 times in a row, you don't want to tempt fate, right? So that's the way it is. But we are an adoption facility agency, and so if you know somebody interested in adoption or you yourself would be interested in adoption, you can see me after the service. I can give you some information. Then also we have a program, which is probably our bread and butter. It's called Friends for Life. It's our monthly sponsorship program. And I would just love to encourage 1 of you, 2 of you, 3 of you, if everybody wanted to do it, that would be great. But perhaps there's somebody that would agree with our ministry, believe in their heart that it's the right thing to do. You know, you can do a lot of stuff if you believe abortion's wrong. You can go out and do the picketing, and you can get involved in political campaigns and support political campaigns, and you can do different things. But I think providing a home for these girls, we are the only home like it in Mississippi, and we're one of just a few homes like it in the whole United States that allows these girls to come. We don't charge them a thin dime. They can come and stay there and completely free, and we provide their medical care and counsel with them, and they've got a good church to go to. And so it's a great, great thing. And to see the lives that have changed, of course, they go there under confidentiality, so we can't share any of the stories or where they're from and what's going on. But just trust me when I say there's been a lot of great things happen through the New Beginnings Ministry through the years. We are swiftly coming upon the 500 mark. In 22 years, we have placed almost 500 children for adoption. And that is wonderful. I think that's a great thing to be able to say that. And so we just want you to come on board with us. If you feel inclined to become one of our partners and become a friend for life, I would ask you to see me after the service. I've got some stuff I can give you. And if you'll operate, I believe Pastor would like you to operate through the church and process it through the church. That way they're training for it. And it would just be a great thing. And I know that the Lord will bless you. I think it's the right thing to do personally. I would just encourage you to do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand in honor of the word of the Lord? I want to get right into the word of the Lord, if that's okay. I feel a preaching spirit in the house. And I know your pastor, after feeling this, was thinking, man, I wish I was preaching tonight, because it feels good in the house. Amen. You got us all warmed up, brother. Yeah. Amen. Brother Looney, I'm praying for you. I'm praying you can buy a coat that they have all the buttons on it. He's missing some buttons. Couldn't afford all the buttons. Had to spend extra money on the pockets, but that's okay. Hallelujah. I'm picking at you because I feel like you can take it, brother. Yeah. I'm jealous. I wish I had a coat like that. Woo! Spirit of jealousy in the house. Amen. It's just good to have fun in the house of the Lord. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read a few verses of scripture for your consideration tonight. And then I'm going to take a left turn after Luke, and I'm going to go into a book in the Old Testament called Zephaniah. You might want to get started now finding it, because it's sandwiched in there somewhere. And if you can't find it, don't worry. I'll read it straight, and you can check it after the service. Luke chapter 15, verse number 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be, notice this, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Look at verse 10 with me, if you will. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy, notice this statement, in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then verse 22, but the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Zephaniah chapter 3, give you time to turn there. Or actually, we can just go there instantaneously, can't we? Isn't technology great? Amen. Hallelujah. Zephaniah 3:16. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, Let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, he will say. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about this subject, and it's a simple one, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Brother Grisham, would you pray? Said amen. 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 If you can help me preach, you'll be seated. Always worry about that one kid standing in the back. And that would be my boy, probably. Got a year-old that he's just like his father, and therein lies the trouble. We worship tonight among a multitude of angels. I don't know if you think about this when you come to the house of the Lord, but there are angels that are present with us every time we worship. Hebrews 12 and 22 says it this way, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." Do you realize tonight there's angels? I can't see them. I haven't felt their touch or sensed anything special. But I just know by faith tonight, because the scripture tells me that there are angels that are among us. In fact, Psalm 34 and 7 says this, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." So if you fear the Lord tonight, there are angels that surround you. If you fear the Lord and serve the Lord and respect the Lord tonight, then there are angels that accompany you everywhere you go. And so when you come to church, the angel of the Lord comes with you. When you go to work, the angel of the Lord is there. So I say, if there's an angel with every single one of us, as many people as there are here, there's that many angels. That's why the scripture says there's an innumerable company of angels. Amen. Angels are spirits. The scripture says, Hebrews 1 and 7, "And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." There's something fantastic tonight about understanding what goes on in a Pentecostal service. What happens when we come together and begin to praise and magnify and glorify the name of the Lord. Something dynamic happens in the spirit realm. Something fantastic happens, amen, in a area that we can't see and can't necessarily perceive with the natural eye. I believe it's the will of God every time we come together for the gifts of the Spirit to work. I believe it's the will of God every time we come together for the Holy Ghost to manifest His power and His glory and His strength. I believe it's the will of God for healing to happen, for deliverance to happen, for salvation to happen. I believe it's the will of God every time we get together to experience a mighty move of His Spirit. You realize tonight that the angels of the Lord are very strong. In fact, the angels of the Lord are stronger than their adversaries. A lot of people worry about, you know, demons, demon power, and what the devil can do and what the devil designs upon our life. We don't have to worry about what the devil, amen, can do. Amen. You realize that the angels that stayed, that think about this. Think of demons basically as backslidden angels. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to denigrate anybody. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but think with me. People that backslide out of the church, would you call them strong character people? No. Their faith gets weak. They get discouraged. It happens. We can all get discouraged. But where do you find your strength? You find your strength in enduring during the time of the test. That's what makes you strong. Amen. And so the angels that fell with Lucifer were not the strong angels. In fact, I've even got scripture to prove it. Because the scripture says in Psalm 103:20, it says this, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels." Notice it says his angels. "That excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." So I believe tonight that the angels that stayed, amen, and served the Lord and are faithful to God are stronger, amen, than the angels that fell. I believe the angel that is with you is stronger than any devil that would try to come against you. If the devil himself, amen, came against you and tried to bind you and discourage you and stop you, I believe that God would say angel that would be much stronger than that devil, much stronger than that spirit, because the angels of the Lord excel in strength. I said they excel in strength. Exodus 23 and 20, he told Moses, he said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have ordained." I'm telling you, God has the power. God has the ability. God has, amen, at his disposal all of the angels of heaven to help us and to minister to us and to give us the strength we need. Amen. 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 I remember years ago in Life Tabernacle in Houston, Texas. I remember, amen, Brother Stone King was there in revival. And I remember, amen, a friend of mine, Sister Michelle Shannon, there was a tremendous move of God happening. If you've ever been, amen, where Brother Stone King is, Brother Stone King is a mighty man of God. And he was preaching, and the place was just going crazy. Amen. And wonderful manifestation of the power of God. And I remember Sister Michelle telling me after the service, I mean, the look on her face during church, I mean, things were happening in the spirit all around. And I talked to her after the service. She said, you know, while Brother Stone King was preaching, she said, Matthew was little at the time, and she was carrying him, I think, to the restroom or something like that. She said, while that all that was going on, she said, I looked back, and she said, there was a lady that was sitting in the crying room. It wasn't a nursery necessarily. It was just a room they had with glass. You know, they had, like, the bulletproof, soundproof glass back there to take the kids that were acting up, little babies and whatever. She was sitting back there, and as I walked back there, she said, I saw an angel of God in the sanctuary, and he was reaching through the glass. And as he was reaching through the glass, he touched this visitor lady. Said, somebody I never knew, touched the lady on the forehead. And when she touched the lady, immediately began to speak. She could see through the window. The lady was speaking in tongues in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And she said, the angel of the Lord was reaching through and touching her. That's what angels do. Angels touch us. We don't see it. We may not be able to sense it. But have you ever been to a place where you just felt low and you felt weak and you felt like you weren't going to make it? And all of a sudden, there was something that just touched you. You couldn't explain it, but there was some power that came upon you. Could it be that the angel of the Lord reaches out and strengthens you and touches you and helps you and ministers to you? Amen. That's what the scripture says. Are they not all, Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? God has given us, amen, something, amen, to help us in these angels. Now, I'm not preaching here that we worship angels. I'm not here that we even look for angels. But I'm just trying to get us to understand that there's something beyond our senses. There is a world beyond. You know, we here in America, we think if we can't see it, can't touch it, can't taste it, it doesn't exist. But there's a very real world. Think about people that are hearing impaired. They can't hear. Does that mean sound doesn't exist? Think about people that are blind. They can't see. Does that mean that there's nothing to see? No. They're deprived of their senses. Could it be that we're deprived of spiritual sense? Could it be that because we are in this earthly flesh, there are things that we don't really realize that are going on? And we come to church, amen, and sometimes we think it's all about us, but realize there's something in the spirit realm happening that's so much more significant. And if we could just plug in, if we could get on the right frequency with God and realize there is something that God wants to do in our life. Amen. Not only do angels minister to us, but angels also worship. They were created for worship. Isaiah 6:3 records where they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you realize that when Jesus Christ was born, it was said in Luke 2 that the angels of the Lord appeared, and this is what they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The psalmist David, if there's anybody that understood worship, if there's anybody that understood what goes on when we get in the presence of the Lord, the psalmist David was the guy. And David, the psalmist, said this in one of his songs, Psalm 148:1, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his... David was writing and telling, he was instructing the angels to worship God. What temerity to tell angels, hey, I want you to worship God. Amen. But there's a reason for that. See, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be the only ones there. The angels of the Lord are going to be there. Amen. Do you realize that? You're going to see angels. Amen. I don't, you know, understand why the wings are necessary, but apparently they have wings. I don't understand why God made them the way he made them. You know, if it was up to my 8-year-old, we'd have wings. He told me that the other day. He said, Dad, wouldn't it be great to have wings? I said, buddy, it wouldn't be good for you to have wings. No telling where you'd be. I mean, it's bad enough that you've got feet. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see angels. Revelation 5:11 says this, and I beheld, this is John writing, And I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them, listen to this, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You got a calculator? That is a bare minimum of 102 million. John says, here is the church, and we're worshiping God. Here is the church, and we're singing about the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God and the grace of God and how he's brought us out of this earth to serve him and love him. We are saved for all. You know, right now we're saved, but eventually we're going to be saved for all of eternity. I believe we can make it to the end, but we hadn't made it to the end. But when we get on those streets of gold, it's going to be a different kind of singing. It's going to be a different kind of worship. It's going to be a different kind of joy that we're experiencing, because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And for the final time, we're saying, thank God you saved me. Thank God you delivered me. Thank God you brought me out. And as we are, listen to this, as we are doing that, we are surrounded by 102 million angels saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Do you realize as we worship, they worship. As we magnify, that's why David would say, praise the Lord, ye his angels. Praise the Lord, ye his hosts. Give him praise and glory. Amen. See, something happens in the angelic realm. Amen. That when God does something, because when God did it, amen, and showed up in the manger, the angels broke out in song and they opened up heaven and they began to sing and pray. When God does something, angels rejoice. And when men do something, angels, there's something about angels that when somebody's doing something, amen, they can't help but chime in. They can't help to go ahead and worship with whatever's going on. I've heard many times, you know, when I remember when I first got in church, amen, it's been a little while ago. It's been so long ago. There was a song that was very popular, and it was by, I believe, Bill Gaither. And I don't even remember all the words of the song, but I do remember this part. And it said something like this: when a sinner makes the Lord's choice, that's when the angels rejoice. And I had this picture listening to this song of this man who would come down to an altar and repent of his sins, and then the angels would just begin to shout and rejoice and sing and just have a big old party about the fact that here this sinner prayed through to a commitment to Jesus Christ and got saved. And I thought that's just the way it was. But what I didn't understand, when you look at the scripture, where he pulled that song, with the inspiration for that song, no doubt, is from Luke chapter 15. But when you look at the scripture and you begin to dissect it and try to understand it, that's not what's going on. In part, yes, it is. But they're leaving out a very central figure. And that is, every story that Jesus told, he told the story about the shepherd that had lost the sheep. He told the story about the little lady that lost the coin. He told the story about the man who lost his son. In every occasion, there was something that was found. The coin was found, the sheep was found, the son came back home. But in every one, it was the shepherd that called his friends and said, rejoice with me, for I have found. It was the owner of that which was lost that started the party. I'm preaching to you, house of the Lord, tonight, that there is a Father, amen, that looks at your life and looks at what you're doing. See, we forget the fact that the one that's starting the rejoicing, the one that's really having the party, the one, amen, that gets off a celestial throne and begins to dance and rejoice is God Almighty. Can I preach to somebody in the house of the Lord that your Father is so in love with you, that your Father loves you so much that when you do anything at all to bring him joy, he begins to rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. See, too many people have this picture of God austere, sober, serious, watching every move you make to see if you mess up. Some folks think God's up there with a big fly swatter, just waiting for them to mess up. Well, you know, the reason why I got it so bad is because I thought an evil thought last week and God's just trying to get me back. Come on, folks. God was trying to get you, he would have had 100 reasons by now. You know, you look through the scripture, and you look at the excuse me for putting it this way, but it's the only way I'm going to put the sorry examples of humanity he used. Paul killed Christians, and he wrote half the New Testament. Peter denied the Lord. He cussed and he swore. He used sailor language. And he preached on the day of Pentecost. Sometimes we use our frailty as simply an excuse not to do what God has challenged us to do and not to be what God wants us to be. Well, I can't because. No, you can if you want to. You can rise above every obstacle. You can rise above every problem. You can rise above every heartache. And you can do something great for the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Our Father deserves our very best. Amen. I believe today that we ought to worship God with everything that is within us. There ought to be something within us when we come to the house of the Lord. It shouldn't be trite. It shouldn't be, amen, mechanical. It shouldn't be something that we just do because we've always done it that way. But there ought to be a sincere desire inside our hearts when we come to the house. There ought to be a hunger. Amen. We ought to be looking for God to do something fantastic among us like never before. It's 2010, and the coming of the Lord is getting closer and closer. And we've got to be hungry for a move of God like we've never had it before. Amen. God comes for the hungry. He comes for the thirsty. He comes for those that just cannot do without him. Amen. We read that scripture where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, where he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we pass over one of the most important words in that scripture, because we constantly thank God for the spirit. Thank God for the truth. But Jesus said, God is the Spirit, and they that worship him, and here's the important word, must worship him. When is the last time that you experienced the divine must of worship? When's the last time that you came to the house of the Lord and your attitude was, you know what, I ain't got no real reason to do it. Amen. The dog died, lost my job, amen, the rent's due, got all kinds of problems, but you know what, there's something inside of me that says I've got to get into the presence of God. I must worship God. I must move closer. I must rededicate. I must reconsecrate. I must have an experience with God. Hallelujah. Instead, we'll come to the house of the Lord and we'll kind of like, well, maybe not tonight. We sing that song, I feel like praising him. What if you don't? Yeah. What if you don't? You may never tell your wife, you know, I love you, but I don't really feel like, you know. No. Don't you ever say that. You fake it till you make it. Baby, I love you. There's something wonderful when we can come to the house of the Lord and with an open heart desire to be in his presence. I'll never forget, we were preaching up in Indiana, Illinois area, and had one of those weeks where I think Wesley was about 5 years old. Now he's 15, but he was about 5 years old, maybe four. And we'd been in church Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Friday and Saturday we'd been at a conference. He had been in church literally all week. And had the trailer at that time, and so I was scheduled to preach somewhere Sunday morning, Sunday night, and put him in the car seat, put Jacqueline in her car seat. I don't think she was in the car seat then. I think she was too old for the car seat. But anyway, we were driving along the highway. Wesley fell asleep. And when I got to the church property, I started backing the trailer up to where I was going to hook up the electric and the water and all that fine stuff, level it all out. Just about that time, that little fellow woke up. And he looked out the window of the tow vehicle, and he saw the steeple, and he recognized the church. He'd been to so many churches, he knew what a church was. And that little boy, little voice came from the back, and this is what it said. It said, "I don't want to go to church again." And it almost, I almost had a note of finality, like, ever. He was tired of going to church. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll come to the house of the Lord because it's Sunday. It's what we do. Because it's Wednesday. It's what we do. It's midweek meeting. It's what we do. And we get just kind of in the rut of going through the motions. And we forget the beauty, amen, of coming into the presence of the Lord. We've forgotten what it's like to be out in the world and not have this. We, excuse me for saying it this way, but we take for granted the presence of God. We take for granted the blessing of God. We forget what it's like. I don't ever want to forget that one day I was out there in a world of sin. I don't ever want to forget there was a time in my life I woke up and my biggest concern, amen, was getting, amen, a physical high from marijuana or LSD or something. I don't ever want to forget the fact that, amen, that I was drug dependent and I was strung out in a world of sin and realize that God is the one that spoke to me and brought me, amen, into a realm of forgiveness and mercy and grace. I want to come to the house of the Lord with every opportunity I have and say, God, I'm going to come here and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to bless you. Amen. So it was in Luke 15 that Jesus is trying to explain the fact that it's the shepherd that finds the sheep. It's the woman that finds the coin. And it's the father that regains his son. And it is he himself. See, there's a scripture in the Old Testament. I think it's found in Nehemiah. I don't remember exactly right now, but I believe it's found in Nehemiah where the scripture simply says this: the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we interpret that. I believe sometimes we interpret that. We misappropriated in our interpretation. And we think what that means is when I'm jumping up and down and I'm singing and I'm feeling great, that's when I'm strong. Because we say, come on, people, worship God because the joy of the Lord is your strength. What actually, think about this. It's the joy of the Lord. That doesn't mean necessarily that I'm real happy. When I'm going through a test of my faith, I'm not real happy. I don't wake up morning and say, God, please send me a trial. Lord, God, things have been so good lately, and you know, I really, my faith really hasn't been stretched. God, help me to get laid off. Amen. Never forget, we were traveling in West Virginia and had one of those every once in a while. My wife's told me to stop referring to this, but I don't anymore, and I haven't had any experience like this for a while, but every once in a while we used to have what I would call the week from hell. Anybody have something like that ever in their life? Where everything that could go wrong absolutely went wrong? In 1 week, my water lines froze in my trailer. My electric jack broke in my trailer. Amen. We got stuck in snow in my trailer. Amen. And I was headed somewhere to preach, and it was so bad that our little Shih Tzu puppy got sick. She'd never been road sick a day in her life. She traveled with us for years, and she actually asked to get out of the vehicle and had to pull over. She got out and she ran off and she was sick. That's how bad it was. The dog got sick. And I got to the church where I was preaching, and I heard, psh. I looked out and my tire was going flat. It was so cold, amen, that the tires, on the side of the tires, they cracked. They were old tires. I mean, they were ready to go. But I'd never had a tire blow out. I wasn't driving. Thank God I wasn't driving. I'd stopped. When I stopped, the sidewall blew out of the tire. It cracked and was blowing air out. And I was like, okay. At that time, I had about an 8-9-year-old boy walk by and looked at it. And he started laughing. And he was headed into the church. Thank God for the children of the Most High. And you know what it's like when you're just absolutely, you know, yeah. And kid walks by and he's just laughing. I looked at him and I was, what are you laughing at, son? He goes, your tire's flat. I said, yeah, thanks, Einstein. I appreciate that. He goes, but you know what? I said, what? It's only flat on the bottom. I was like, do your parents believe in corporal punishment? Because I'm volunteering. Next time you need a whooping, I'll drive any distance. Sometimes life does that. And it's at those times. Think about what Job went through. I don't think any of us went through what Job went through. But think about what Job went through. And it was at those moments of severe testing that I believe God steps up off his throne and looks down and says, that brings me joy. That brings me happiness. Scripture says, Zephaniah wrote this way, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rejoice over thee with joy. The Hebrew word means exceeding gladness, mirth, or pleasure. It also says he will joy over thee with singing. The Hebrew word there means to dance round under the influence of violent emotion. Do you realize we serve a God that dances over us? We serve a God that every once in a while, I think when you make a move towards God, when you resist temptation, when you endure a test, when you go through a hard time, when all of those things that are going wrong could go wrong, and you still stand strong like a rock and say, you know what? I'm going to serve God anyhow. Even with the bad news, even with the bad doctor's report, I'm still going to go to church, and I'm still going to worship God, and I'm still going to magnify God. I believe that God, amen, talks to the angels and says, hey, let's start a party. Let's get some chips and dips. Let's order some pizza. We're going to have a big time because my children are bringing me joy. Joy of the Lord. So the next time you're going through a test, amen, don't fret. Don't say, well, God has forsaken me. You know, if God really loved me, he wouldn't be making me go through this. What the devil says, God must not love you. Wow, you're his child. Isn't that what he came to Jesus himself? You know what? If you were really the Son of God, you wouldn't have to be going through this kind of stuff. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. This is what's going to make me the man I need to be. Amen. The test is what makes us. The trial is what makes. I'm not getting up tomorrow morning and asking God for more tests and more trials. But one thing I am doing is when the test comes and the trial comes, amen, I'm not going to vacuum the carpet with my bottom lip. I'm not going to come into church going, oh, woe is me. I don't think. No, I'm going to stand strong and say, you know what? By the grace of God, I'm going to make it. By the grace of God, I'm going to lift my hands in the sanctuary and I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to bring joy to the heart of my Father. I'm going to keep on keeping on in spite of the problems. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to bless him at all times. Amen. I want to give him praise in the good times and in the bad times. Amen. Anybody, amen, anybody can praise God when the sun is shining. Amen. Got a new job. Got a raise on the job. Kids are treating you good. Amen. Wife is loving on you. Amen. Easy to worship God. Think about Job. Amen. The one person that should have been in his corner, the one person that should have been there for him was his wife. And even she came to him and said, Job, curse God and die. She'd given up. You know, we could put her down for it, but think about it. I mean, I love my babies, but my wife really loves our babies. There's a difference between a father's love and a mother's love. You know, father's love is, you know, I'm the one that has told my oldest boy, you know what? I got another one just like you. You got a little brother, 7 years younger. We can end this right now. You don't have to see another birthday. My wife would never say that. Like, we'll take care of business right now. Job's wife had lost everything. She was despondent and she was beyond. But you know what Job's character was? I mean, he ended up having How many more kids with that woman? Still loved her, still forgave her. I said, I understand you're just in the heat of the trial. Didn't stop Job from saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Praise God. You know what? I believe in the house of the Lord here tonight that I'm preaching to some people that are giving God reason to start a party. Say, oh, I ain't got nothing to offer the kingdom of God. I've got to, you know what? Just by making your mind up, just by living for God, just by enduring what you're enduring, just by keeping a smile on your face in spite of the circumstance, you're doing everything you need to cause God to say, hey, Gabriel, hey, Michael, let's strike up the heavenly band. Did you just see? Do you see what they're going through? Do you realize the obstacles they're overcoming to live for me? Do you see the decision that they're making? Do you see the consecration that's in their life? In spite of it all. Oh, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands all over the sanctuary. God, we want to bring you joy. We want to bring you joy, Lord. God, we want our lives to be reason for you to rejoice, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand all over the sanctuary. Amen. They're going to come to the music. And we're going to sing and praise and worship the Lord. And I, myself, want to give God every reason possible to rejoice. One of these days, if you keep living the way you're living, you're going to see a big old smile on your Heavenly Father's face. And you're going to hear those words. This is my goal, to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Hallelujah. 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 The secret is getting into his joy. Going beyond just your joy. You know, sometimes you can worship God and you can feel a little touch of something. You can feel a little bit happy. But there's times you get beyond your joy into his joy. Oh, my God. And you experience what he's experienced. Experience, wow. Sometimes you don't have any reason to rejoice yourself. You can look at somebody else and say, you know what? I'm going to be like my Father in heaven. And I'm going to rejoice over them. Maybe everything's coming up wrong in my life, but I'm going to rejoice over my brother. I'm going to rejoice over somebody else. I'm going to give God praise and glory. Oh, praise God. Why don't we lift our hands all over the sanctuary and let's give God praise. Let's give God a reason to rejoice over us tonight.
To the presence of the Lord, enter in.
Scripture said God's pleasure is his people. You are what pleases God. You are what brings joy and satisfaction and fun to the heart of God. Amen. I think it would be good tonight if we would stream down to this altar with our hands lifted and our faces turned heavenward and our eyes fastened on our Father, our mouths open to give him praise. Hallelujah. Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. Amen. I'm not going to now about my circumstances. I'm not going to think about the situation that I'm in. But right now, Jesus, just for the present, let me praise you. Let me honor you. Let me forget about everything else for a little while. And just let me praise you. Just let me give you the thanks that you deserve. Just let me give you the praise that is due unto your name. just because you're God and just because you love me. Hallelujah. Just because you're so good and so gracious and so merciful and so kind and so generous and so patient and so loving and so steadfast, just because you care like no one else has ever cared for me. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Because you deserve it, I give it. Hallelujah.
Where your answers are,
because you're worthy. Because you're worthy. Because you're worthy.
Where the healing waters flow.
Yes. Hallelujah. I'm giving it all to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise you through my tears. I'm going to praise you through my troubles. I'm going to praise you through the trial. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise you in the good times. I'm going to praise you in the bad times. In the sunshine or in the rain. I praise you because of your worthiness and your greatness. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. 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 Yes.
Where your answers are restored.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Where the healing waters flow.
I want to praise you, God, for your mighty acts. I want to praise you according to your excellent greatness. Hallelujah. I want to praise you because you're worthy. Hallelujah. I want to praise you in the heavens. I want to praise you in the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. The mountaintop or in the valley. Hallelujah. Just because you're God, and just because you're good, and just because you're worthy, I want to praise you.